Joining us on the phone this morning is a guy who knows the importance of boots, coats, mittens, perhaps better than many of us. Joel Kilgore is part of the Loaves and Fishes community, and he's also been doing an awful lot of work with the Warming Center and helping folks who are experiencing homelessness. Joel, it has been way too long since we've talked to you. Good morning. It's good to have you on the air with us this morning.
Thanks. Good morning, Lisa.
So, yesterday, the Warming Center closed at 10 o'clock. It's open in the overnight hours, of course, for folks. It closed at 10 o'clock, but we had a wind chill warning in effect until noon yesterday. So it strikes me that the Warming Center isn't covering maybe as much as it needs to. What's the thinking on that? What are the challenges that the Warming Center is facing right now?
Sure. Well, I mean, I would point out that 4 years ago, we didn't have a Warming Center. And it was a great community collaboration between CHUM and the county, the city, other partners, including Loaves and Fishes, that came together to open that first Warming Center at a threshold of 10 degrees. We didn't even open that first year until it had hit 10 degrees. This year, we're able to be open every night at a temperature threshold of 32 and have been able to extend our hours pretty continuously. We are now open mostly on weekends. We've been able to add some additional hours during this deep cold. We are sharing a space with the Rainbow Senior Center, so there's limited options for us in terms of hours right now. There is a plan to create a 24-hour permanent Warming Center space that will hopefully be up and running in time for next season. That, of course, doesn't help people this year.
No, it doesn't, but that is exciting news. Are you allowed to share? Is it something that's going to be created new from scratch, or are they going to use repurpose an existing building?
It'll be an existing building, yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of details to figure out yet, but there's definitely the political will and interest on both the cities and county part to make this happen. It's been a priority of advocates for a long time. This year, we're doing the best that we can, and it has been hard to ask people to leave in the mornings. But I would also point out that the Warming Center is part of a network of supports that exist out there, including the CHUM Drop-In Center and other resources, and I am confident that when people leave the Warming Center, they have somewhere else to go. So we're not leaving people out in the cold and in 20 below. It's not always ideal, and sometimes it means busing from place to place. But we have some really dedicated staff at the Warming Center who are particularly attentive to people who seem like they are have fewer resources, and we'll make sure that they're connected, whether it's mental health or detox or hospital resources that they need. I think because of all the good work and all of the good networks of agencies, we're not going to see people outside in sub-zero temps.
You know, we've talked with Deb Holman about this before, and it's certainly not the majority of people, but there are a few people that refuse to come into a shelter. And again, like I say, it's not a majority, and we've talked about this before, but remind people, in case this is new information to them, what some of the challenges these folks might be experiencing that might cause them to say, no, I'll camp instead.
Yeah, I mean, any number of things. People have had traumatic experiences at shelter. People are living with anxiety disorders or post-traumatic stress. People on the autism spectrum. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people are uncomfortable being in a congregate setting. I mean, none of us would want to live. There were 39 people camped out in the Warming Center last night. None of us want to sleep in a room with 39 people who are complete strangers, you know. So, and this year it's been, up until this cold spell, it's been relatively mild. And so many people have chosen to sleep outside. I think the pandemic has also increased people's fear of coming into a congregate shelter setting. They prefer to just be off in their own tent. And frankly, that probably is the most pandemic safe option.
Talk a little bit about, it sounds like, and I'm pleased because we haven't had this conversation in a while, it feels like. Maybe it's only been a year. But I'm thrilled and I'm heartened to see the way that the community and the decision makers are stepping up and really, it sounds like, really coming through for folks. Are you hearing about people that are suffering in the extreme cold? I mean, have certain people kind of decided against the help that's being offered? And, you know, are they being treated for frostbite or hypothermia? Or are folks taking advantage of the good networks? And are we taking better care of people this winter?
I think, you know, most people are coming inside. We have seen cases of frostbite. There are some folks who are continuing to live outside, a very small number of them. Some really hardy folks who are doing the best they can with propane heaters and fires and sleeping bags and tents. And it's not the kind of situation that we want to see anybody living in, but those are the choices that they make. I think, you know, the warming center is open to anyone. We haven't turned anyone away except for specific behavioral problems on a given night, but everyone's welcome through that door. So I think the resources are there. The emergency resources are there. What's missing, of course, is housing. I mean, that's been the problem all along. Duluth is an incredibly difficult housing market, and especially for people who have higher barriers, such as chemical use or mental health problems. The housing just doesn't exist. And we saw, you know, every year the federal government mandates a count of people who are experiencing homelessness. This year, that mandate was waived because of the pandemic. But last year we saw an 18% increase in St. Louis County in homelessness, and most of that was among the unsheltered homeless population. And I do have to say, Lisa, that, I mean, people get really, are very attentive to the homeless crisis in this deep cold, and I'm glad for that. It is a particularly deadly time for people who are homeless, but any time of the year is deadly for people who are homeless. 32 degrees and wet is deadly for the people who are homeless. 100 degrees with limited access to water is deadly. Our folks are dying very young. For the chronically homeless, making it into your 40s or 50s, you're lucky. Many of them are dying before that, and that is wrong. It's unjust, and it's an epidemic that we've accepted as just a normal part of reality for the past 40 years in this country, and it's gotten worse in the last few years. And unless we make, you know, we can set up all the warming centers we want and all the emergency responses that we want, but until we are able to provide housing for everyone in our community, it's going to be a constant battle to keep people alive.
Joel, these are our neighbors. What can we do? Obviously, I'd like to talk about some, you know, emergency things, some things that we could donate, some places where we could contribute that's helpful. But I'd also like to talk about what people can do perhaps to move this housing conversation forward. Do you have the sense that with kind of this new societal shakeup, and we're examining some of the old paradigms thanks to COVID, that maybe this could be a time where some progress on the housing issue could be made?
I sure hope so. The future is looking a little brighter right now, but it's still, we're still a long way from the kind of resources that we need to address this epidemic. I mean, we have 1,300 households in the Duluth area that are currently on a wait list for housing because they are experiencing homelessness. There are massive needs out there, and it's going to require a huge investment of resources at the federal and the state and the local level. And so far, there hasn't been the will to do that. Although I am hopeful that we're going to see some of those coffers opening up a little bit more for folks who are homeless and experiencing housing insecurity over the next few years. I would say as far as donations, you know, people have been very generous throughout the pandemic. People have been very generous this winter. We're always in need of things like hand warmers, gloves, hats, winter coats. Those things we can't, we're not accepting donations directly at the warming center, but they can be brought to Loaves and Fishes or to Chum. Donate, of course, to the organizations that are doing this work. There are a lot of really wonderful groups working to aid folks who are experiencing homelessness, from Lifehouse, Chum, Loaves and Fishes, ACO. So continue to support them and the important work that they're doing. And then as far as advocacy, I guess, unfortunately, I don't have any specific ask for people right now, but I think we do need to keep the heat on our elected leaders at every level and on every election cycle to make housing a priority. I mean, we have to, you know, the city of Duluth a few years ago agreed to a tax increase to pay for our roads, which I support. I think that was a good thing. But we need that kind of bold initiative directed at the housing crisis, and so far we haven't seen it. We need those millions of dollars coming in to really make a difference, because, you know, right now we're building housing for people with the greatest needs at a rate of, what, 16 units a year, and we have over 1,000 people who need housing. So we have to do better.
Joel, it's always so good to talk with you. We learn a lot of hard truths, which is good in a bittersweet kind of way, but we learn a lot. And it's also good to know that there is progress being made, that the community is coming through, that all is not bleak, but maybe we are able to focus our eyes a little further down the road now in terms of we're making it through this crisis at the moment, but what are we going to do to solve the problem and prevent us from, you know, going through this again? Thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us, Joel.
Thank you, Lisa.
Joel Kilgore this morning. He is a member of the Loaves and Fishes community, and he's active with the Warming Center in Duluth.